And we are back. Welcome, guys, to the second episode of the second season of The Weekend Hangover. And today, we're going to start, obviously, with sports. The first category is the MLB. They've been having a lot of these seven-inning doubleheader games, either due to COVID reasons or due to rainouts, things like that. And it came to my attention, some other housemates' attention this week, that some teams have unfairly have had, not really unfairly, but they've been able to have a lot more 7-inning games. And it's a huge advantage as bullpens really aren't needed as the last two innings don't even happen in these games. Do you guys think that the game still could go 9 innings? Do you think it's a big concern for other teams?
I would say no because, I mean, I guess it's 2 innings. I know they want to, like, I guess save I don't know what the purpose of shortening games really is except to save, you know, bullpen arms, but I mean, other than that, I think it's kind of a silly thing to do. This whole season has been kind of silly in some senses where, you know, DH in the NL starting a runner at second, which I was in support of when I first heard about it.
Yeah, extra innings, yeah.
I do not think it's a good rule anymore. So yeah. I don't know, they've just been implementing a bunch of different things that I'm not sure I'm a fan of.
Yeah, like, I saw this other day, and the Indians, I believe, are one of only 4 or 5 teams that haven't played a doubleheader. So they've been, you know, playing like how it would be normally, all 9 innings. And you have teams like the Yankees, who are already a pretty solid team. They've played 11 doubleheaders already. That's a huge advantage for them, although I don't really know how they've done. I think they've done pretty well in these games. Haven't had to go to their bullpen, which has been kind of iffy this year. You have the Reds and Cardinals as well at 8 apiece. For teams like the Reds who have been kind of struggling, it helps them out a little more with these 7-inning games when their bullpen's one of the worst in MLB. In addition, you got Marlins who've had 6, and their team's been pretty bad throughout this year and other years, and helps them. And it goes down the list. Like, I mean, every team on here has had at least 2, obviously, because doubleheader. Just helps out teams, and you think it will make an impact going into the playoffs. Although this playoffs is a lot different with more teams being able to be in the playoffs. Is that maybe because the 7 innings?
Well, obviously your guys get rest if you're playing 7-inning games. But another thing is teams are getting rewarded by playing shorter games for not following the rules in the first place. Like the Cardinals, the Marlins, those teams who broke protocol are now being rewarded by playing shorter games. And I that's another reason why I disagree with this. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously having two 7-inning games is a big advantage in terms of rest and, you know, not having to pitch relievers. But it could also be a downside from an offensive point of view. Batters don't get as many looks, so they could still be, I mean, not rusty, but they wouldn't get the same experience that they would if they played 9 innings.
Yeah, some of the guys at the bottom of the lineup might only get 2 at-bats during a game. So that's not really, you know, that also could impact, like, batting titles and things like that. Like, I mean, they'll still get a decent amount of bats, but if you play, the Yankees have had 11 doubleheaders, and they've played what, like, that's probably 1/3 of their games they've had doubleheaders, I would say. So that's a huge portion. And, I mean, at least for on their team, like LeMahieu, like, he's one of the top guys at a batting title. Is it even legit?
I mean,
he obviously is he's a top guy, so like, he would still probably be in the top 5 or 10, but.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's an asterisk around that, and if he's still going for a batting title, I mean, I don't know. I still think it's, obviously he put up those numbers, given, you know, shorter amount of games or shorter games, so.
Is there an asterisk on the whole season for whoever wins the World Series?
I don't think so, because you still got to get there. You still got to try for all 60 games. You still got to put in your A game. You can't take any days off, really. And then you still have a playoff where there's more teams, more games you have to play. So, no, I do not believe there should be an asterisk. I'm not going to say it's a harder season. It's different, but I don't think there should be an asterisk.
All right. I think that's it for that first topic here on sports. Moving on to the next topic. There have been a lot of rumors recently about the Indians and the trade deadline, as it is tomorrow, and there's a pretty solid possibility that Mike Clevenger one of the top pitchers for the Indians might be traded, along with rumors about Lindor and Plesac heading out. What do you guys think about this, and any predictions for where they're going to land, and who do you want to see the Indians get back in these trades?
Well, I think it's confirmed that Clevinger is gone. I definitely want to keep Lindor, but I know the Padres got outbid for Clevinger, and there's a mystery team, so I guess we'll find out who that could be.
Yeah, mystery team season. It's the I don't know, our housemate Dylan doesn't believe in mystery teams. He thinks they're a hoax to drive up the price on a certain player, but there is indeed a mystery team. So I don't know, is there any guesses on who that could be? Any wild? I have no clue. I mean, Yankees, White Sox, those are two teams that were confirmed.
I can't really think of any other mystery teams right now. But maybe the Blue Jays, perhaps?
Blue Jays? That's interesting.
They need an arm maybe in their starting rotation, and they got some young talent that maybe the Indians could want. I guess it really depends if we want this trade with them or not. But if it isn't the Blue Jays, let's say it's the Padres, who would you want for Clevinger?
You have to have, obviously, Tatis is off the table, unless you throw in multiple other pieces in this trade to somehow make it work, which I don't think is going to happen. They have a great farm system, but that means you're throwing away a top pitcher for players that might reach Clevinger's potential down the road. I think almost any team, it's going to be Indians get one player who's already here at the MLB level, who's young, who's under team control for multiple years after this, and then a good prospect, their top prospect or second top prospect. And they shouldn't just throw away Clevinger. They should get a good return for him, and because we have control on him for, I believe, a couple more years after the season. So you can't just be throwing him away because he broke COVID protocol. So
you think that's the main reason for why they're throwing him away?
I'm sure there was some kind of something that was said after the whole COVID thing that happened.
Did with the same Plesac. Reason you think Plesac's potentially out of here?
I think Plesac doesn't have as much value as Clevinger towards other teams, but to the Indians, he might have similar kind of value. I'd say they're both good players. Plesac's a little younger.
The Indians traded Plesac. I feel like they wouldn't really get that much in return. Yeah, exactly. For him. He doesn't really have a high market value.
Exactly, because there's not much known about him. But as fans, we know Plesac's a pretty good pitcher so far in his young career.
Yeah.
So I guess it's smarter to trade Clevinger when has less team control remaining, and you have that big name assigned to Clevinger.
So the consensus here is we trade Clevinger, which it seems like he's going to be gone, that we need a young player who's already somewhat developed, and then someone in a farm system that hopefully can get to a top level. Plesac, it might just be for someone in a farm system, maybe. Lindor hopefully is off the table, but if he gets traded, they better get somebody who's already proven.
Yeah.
Because that would be a tough loss, obviously, for
him. I don't think Lindor gets traded, honestly. You can go into a whole argument on why it makes sense right now, but I don't think it's going to happen this season.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on that?
Well, I know the Dodgers were very interested in Lindor, but I don't see them giving up big pieces, especially when they're doing so well right now.
Yeah, I think I kind of alluded to this in a podcast or a couple podcasts ago. It's that if the Dodgers get Lindor, I don't really know if he'll be able to help them even get more wins. They already over this one of the top, teams in the league, and if they get him, will he even equate to that many more wins where it's worth it for them? I don't really think so, but because then they would have, like you said, they have to give up a big piece in return. So I don't know if that value would make any sense for them. But
lastly on Clevinger, teams involved with bidding for him expect Cleveland to make a deal tomorrow on Monday. For him, and then John Heyman reports that the Blue Jays have been in on Clevinger. So
that mystery team was maybe the Blue Jays?
The Jays have indeed been in on Mike Clevinger, uncertain if they are the mystery team with alleged high bid, but they have the interest in pieces. There's a strong front office link with Antonelli. The president who used to be with the Indians is with
Shapiro,
yeah, who's with the Blue Jays right now. So there's a connection there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Seems like colluding a little, but, you know.
Well, I mean. It happens
in all sports.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our next topic. College football returned last night, which was Saturday night. Austin PA versus
Austin P.
Austin whatever. Just Austin.
Austin whatever. P versus Central Arkansas.
Central Arkansas. Yep. I didn't watch the game. You guys did, I believe.
Oh, yeah, it was a nail biter.
It was. Came down to the last second.
Was it an exciting FCS football game?
Well, I think we turned it on late in the fourth. At least that's when I started paying attention.
Yeah.
Close game all the way.
Were you on the edge of your seat watching that game?
Actually, yes. We were. For the last couple drives. I mean.
Pretty interesting. I mean, I know at the beginning of the game we turned it on, and the first play from scrimmage was a 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
By Austin P.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the game, like Austin said, Central Arkansas went down a couple great catches and ended up scoring a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then Austin P came back and threw one of the first passes. The quarterback threw a dime about, 30, 40 yards down the field, caught.
Mm-hmm.
Guy did a little dance after the catch, was really hyped up, and they ended up scoring and held off Central Arkansas at the end. So.
Well, thank you for that recap.
It was a pretty solid opening game to college football.
Well, I guess college football. What we mean, real college football needs to be back soon.
That is true.
That, you know, D1, FBS, SEC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Power Five.
Yeah, Power Five. Back. Yeah. Austin, thank you for moving the script.
Well, I thought I was going to correct David because I thought Central Arkansas won that game.
So, pretty sure.
We don't, yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Uh-oh.
Well, there were some questionable coaching calls towards the end of that game.
Central Arkansas Rally.
Yes, I was wrong about that, actually.
Okay, yeah, good correction there.
Okay.
There were some coaching miscues towards the end of that game.
Yeah, very sure. I would have managed the game a lot differently, but that's just me.
Yeah. But it was a pretty solid game, one-score game, and like to always see a competitive game. But, yeah, do we think the Big Ten is going to resume in the fall? There were rumors originally, you know, not going to happen. And then, you know, there were a bunch of talk. And then it was brought up earlier this week that they are considering starting in the fall, no later than Thanksgiving, obviously, because they want to get, I guess, a decent part of the schedule in before students would return home.
But that doesn't make any sense to me. If you're going to start Thanksgiving, why don't you start in October or late September?
See, I don't understand it either, because if you start, like, let's say, like, you start, like, beginning of November, like, you're still going to, they're only going to be able to play a certain amount of, I don't know if they're going to, like, shorten the schedule, you only play, like, 5-6, that wouldn't make any sense, because you're going to have to have part of the schedule, like, in the first semester, I guess, and the second half, in the second half, then you'll have the potential rusty.
Yeah, you're playing your opening game when the SEC and ACC schools are playing their championship game. Mm-hmm. So they're going, you know, so I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense at all. I think the Big Ten should, you know, start late September at the latest or early October, like maximum latest. Play your 10 games and try to be incorporated with the playoff if there even is one this year. I don't know if that's even a thing, but I don't know. It's going to be a weird season either way. I hope Big Ten's back. I'm not really sure. I'd say at this point 50-50 maybe that we see Big Ten football this year. What about you guys?
Yeah, I don't really understand the start at Thanksgiving, especially when it comes to the playoffs. They wouldn't be able to make it in unless they play a shortened season, which I don't see happening. But, I mean, starting a month later than SEC teams or I think, what is it, the Big 12.
I know the SEC confirmed they're definitely going to play.
Late September.
But
my thing is, Ohio State football and other Big Ten schools are still going to be practicing during that period, so why not just start the same time as the SEC?
Yeah, I don't really know. It's been all kind of craziness, so I actually do think it's going to happen, but I don't really know when. Like, I think there's, like, 90% chance it will happen. They'll play, but I just don't know when. So
yeah, so
I think that's that for college football, and moving on to our last sports topic here, NBA. A lot of the first round games have come to a conclusion, and we've had good people advance on to the second round. With that, do you guys think, from our previous podcast, do you think there's another potential dark horse, or have you stayed with a team you think is going to win the championship?
The Lakers were looking a little iffy. But I'm still going to go with them. I still say Lakers. Lakers are going to win it all. We're watching the end of the Denver and Utah game, and Donovan Mitchell just threw a chair down, and I'm not really sure what Jamal Murray's doing right now, but it looked like it was a big win by Denver. So
yeah, Murray had another, what, I think it was 45 plus.
Or
it was
a 50 point.
Yeah, 50-point game. Another 50-point game for him. So he's... D. Mitch has had a great series. He's been kind of not doing well the last couple games, but now Murray's going off, and they're down 3-1 in this series. Came all the way back 3-3. Maybe they can take game 7. Maybe the Nuggets have a chance. I don't really think their defense is just not a NBA championship caliber defense, I would say. So that's where they're going to struggle if they advance on to the next round. But I was a little concerned today. Saw the Toronto game. They got kind of blown out by the Celtics. That might have been just a fluke, but I still think Toronto is a dark horse to win the finals and definitely come out of the East. Obviously, you have the Bucks, like I said earlier. And then the West, I actually think the Clippers kind of just showed that Kawhi had an amazing series. So the Clippers are, I think, the top team.
But they beat Dallas, who lost, you know, their second best player in Porzingis for a lot of that series. So, I mean, and they were. Luka's a tremendous player, and he's really established himself as one during these playoffs. But, I mean, what's going to happen when Paul George puts up a dud game against the Lakers?
See, here's the thing. The Clippers are going to play either the Nuggets or Jazz in the next round. So, I think that if they play against the Nuggets, they're going to expose them. The Nuggets have no defense. Okay. And then Jazz, iffy if they end up playing them. But it'll be a good series there. But I think the Clippers are emerging as a top team. Because Lakers, yeah, you could say the same, but they lost their best. Like, Portland lost their best player, Lillard. Okay. And the Lakers still dominated Portland for a game when they had Lillard.
You have, for the Clippers, you have Kawhi, who's amazing, doing his thing.
I know.
Paul George is struggling. So what's going to happen when he's going to face the Lakers? I mean, I would imagine the matchup's going to be Kawhi versus LeBron. But what happens if... LeBron's put on... I mean, I don't know what the matchup's going to be for that game, but you can't have a Paul George game where he goes 3 of 13.
He played better than this series. He had a game where I know he had 25... He had 30 in game 5. I know he didn't play as well in game 6 earlier, but yeah, playoff P, not so playoff P so far. Hopefully he gets it going, but I think it's Clippers and... it should be Clippers-Lakers in the West, and then in the East, I think... My opinion, I think it will go 7, Toronto and Boston. I think the Bucks are going to handle the Heat pretty easily, but we'll see. Austin?
Yeah, I agree. The big thing that worried me was the Toronto-Celtics game, because I did have Toronto as my dark horse as well.
My dark horse was the Celtics, if I want to remind you too. So
that's true, and I guess we're going to see what happens, because I don't see them losing by, 30 again?
Well, I'm just saying right now. Yeah. Celtics was my dark horse team. So.
And, well, I'll just say the Blazers also won game 1 against the Lakers, and Lakers won that series in 5. Not saying that'll happen again here. I think it'll be a much closer series, but I can still see Toronto coming out on top.
Yeah. Well, I think that might be it here for our sports topic. Going to move on here to our little personal action.
I'll go into this.
Yeah, Kyle can go ahead and explain the first one. All right,
so
here.
Today, I don't know if we had it on our Instagram. David, or we live streamed it actually. David did the Subway challenge where he attempted to eat 3 foot long, sandwiches in 5 minutes. And going into the event, David was very confident in that. He said, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to eat all of them. It's going to be close." He said that towards the actual eating competition event thing, you started to backtrack on what you said on how it was not... you originally said it was going to be easy, Ched, and there's no way you don't do it. And then you backtrack and said, oh, it's going to be close, but I still think I do it. And three Subway footlongs, one, David, zero.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely, I knew it'd be hard to prep for it, and it's kind of tough because, first of all, if I really want to, like, truly prep for it, I would have to practice doing the exact challenge, and I wasn't really, I guess, willing to do that as it takes a toll on you, but next time when I do this challenge, which will be happening later this year again, I will practice. There will be improvement, too, as this time I had a little over two subs.
Well, two subs and one bite that may or may not have been finished.
Anyways. So, yeah. So, but I think I surprised, maybe not surprised, but I shocked people, I guess, by getting off to a quick start on the first sub.
I didn't think that was the question. I knew you would get off to a fast start and that would lead to your demise on being full. And
here was the real issue, too, is you have to have, like, some liquid to try to, like, get it down. So
I don't think you used the water correctly, though. I really don't think you did. I don't know how the hot dog eating contest goes.
Yeah.
I don't think you did the water.
I think, rethinking about it, what I technically should have done with the water and the bread is you dip the bread into the water and soak it in there and then try to get it down. But still, you're going to need water to get it all down at the end when it's, like, kind of stuck in your throat. So
I think you should have done less water because you took, like, gulps and that just filled you up more. Smarter would have been dipping the sandwich into the water and then trying to, you know, and then using the water to swallow everything. But I don't know.
I feel like it was a pretty solid attempt. Like I said, it's going to happen again this year.
I literally predicted one sandwich or two sandwiches in two bites, and you did two sandwiches in one bite. So I was pretty dead on with that. So I don't know. You need to do better.
Austin, what were your thoughts on this challenge
here? I will say
Sorry.
I was a little surprised at how quickly you finished the first sub. I knew you would get a fast start for the 6-incher, but once it came to that second half of that first foot long, still finished it pretty quickly.
He was in, I think it was 126 he got the first sandwich down.
Yeah,
which was good. I mean, you were on pace to obviously do it, but I knew it would just start to slow down, and sure enough it did.
And I will say, you were talking about doing this again, you don't really have to eat three subs in 5 minutes to prepare. You just have to eat a lot before
week. But doing the challenge will give you reinsurance. If you could actually do the challenge, like, let's say a week prior, you did the challenge and you did it in 5 minutes, then you know, okay, like, I can do this.
Yeah, but the thing is, for this challenge, from my perspective, it didn't even seem like you prepared at all.
Yeah. We brought up to you last weekend, and you said either Friday or Saturday, and then Thursday you were like, or Wednesday you were like, oh yeah, I'm doing that this weekend, and you're like, all right, Friday or Saturday, and then I think you moved it to Sunday to try to give yourself an extra day, and then this morning or yesterday you ate a regular sandwich and you just slammed it down your throat and you thought that was your preparation for this event.
No, I've been
clearly it was not good preparation for this event.
Actually, I believe you definitely know this. Over the whole quarantine last semester and a little bit in the summer, I showed you some videos of myself pounding some food. Yeah.
Yes, David, you were able to make a sandwich and eat it in less than 30 seconds. But
that was also months ago, so yeah. I don't think it carries over.
I think the bread got you. Bread definitely was the thing that got you. And you're eating, you know, two thinner slices of bread, and you think, oh, that translates somehow. It doesn't. It's like, it just doesn't work like that, so.
Next time I think it'll be a lot closer. I think I'll be very close next time.
I don't think you will.
Won't be.
Unless you prepare much in advance.
Austin, thoughts?
Yeah, even no matter how much you prepare, I don't think you can get three subs.
Yeah.
Two was a stretch. I predicted two subs. You would be finishing your last one as time ran out, and that's about what happened. But three subs, it's just not enough time.
All right, and you really had to push yourself on that on the second sub too towards the end because you were looking pretty sick to your stomach, and you later yacked after, which I guess it counted.
No, it didn't because the time frame was over.
Yeah, it was over. Okay, so whatever, but once you get into that third sub, even if you try to go like maybe like get half that sub down, you would have yacked midway through that sub, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and it would just been disqualification, unless if, you know, you, it's whatever, but,
Yeah. All right, well, that was fun, though. I liked doing that, and you guys, I think, had a good time.
That did not look fun at all, so.
I had a good time, plus the whole choreographic thing that happened and after.
We had a little walkout for you. It was very cinematic, and I enjoyed that the most because, honestly, watching you eat sandwiches and stuff them down your throat was a little disgusting.
Yeah, it really was.
I think that's it, though, for the Subway Challenge portion of the topic. Lastly, we're going to move on here to a little COVID action here in Oxford, Ohio. So,
bingo!
So, yeah, lately, cases here in Oxford have been rising a decent amount, and in Butler County, which is the county we're in. And none of us here, Austin, Kyle, or I, have COVID, but people that we're pretty close to and we know did test positive, so we got to be kind of careful with that, all that happening. And it kind of stinks because it's senior year, and this thing's kind of ruining it a little bit, but... we're going to try to make the best of it, and hopefully none of us ended up getting diagnosed with the virus. In addition, though, the school just announced that they're... I don't know if it's randomly select people or they're...
There's no way it's
randomly selecting, but they're selecting people every week or every day to set up an appointment and go get tested through the school, I guess, to try to help out their numbers and figure out if they want to... bring freshmen and sophomore back on campus for, and in addition have in-person classes. And I know Austin got tested. Everyone in this house got sent pretty much an email about signing up and doing it. I know Austin went and did it, and it wasn't as bad as the other previous tests, which were shoving a swab up your nose. This time you got a oral test in your mouth, so it was like a spit test, so it wasn't as bad. Austin, if you want to speak to that, you can.
Yeah, so I got tested last Tuesday, and that was the nasal test, and they shoved two little, I don't even know what they were, two little Q-tips, sticks up right? my nose, smaller than that. But
you got two.
I had two, yeah.
I only got one, so well, I lucked out there.
It still wasn't as bad as people... thought it was. I know I was sitting in the office chair and the nurse asked me how I was, and I said, good, how are you? And she said, well, I'm not the one getting swabbed today. So I went into it thinking it would be worse than it was. Not too bad. But yeah, the random Miami test, that's just an oral swab. Honestly, if you remember going to your doctor's office as a little kid, they would do a strep test with a little popsicle stick. That was worse than what this was. So not bad. Easy, quick. But definitely not random. They say it's random. I think it's definitely targeted toward people that may have been in contact with exposed individuals.
Yeah, because like we said, we have a close friend who ended up testing positive for the virus, so they might have known that, and that's why we got the test.
Here's like one thing from my... So like, when you guys got it, did your guys' nose like feel like really weird after it? Like after they like put that thing up your nose? Like my nose was like really like runny like right after it, and like it like... had like a weird feeling to it. I don't know if you guys experienced that or like anything, but
So the first time I actually got tested was in Michigan. We talked about this on here, and when that happened, as soon as it like they took it out, I thought my nose was bleeding. So yeah, it seemed runny. But when I got tested here, like Austin said, he got tested Tuesday. I got tested on Friday. Yeah, so a couple days got tested, and it did not feel runny at all. But it hurt a lot more than the Michigan one for some reason. I don't know what they did.
Yeah, my nose wasn't runny. What was funny was I thought the whatever they stick up your nose, I thought they were still in there when the nurse said I was good to go. So I just felt like it was almost numb a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not runny at all. The nurse actually said my sinuses were great. So there's that.
All right, we have anything else to talk about here? We all wrapped up.
I think I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to another episode of The Weekend Hangover. We will see you next week.